fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend. Beginning a new week here, looking at the gospel reading. What I'd like to do is take up the teaching of Jesus in the Gospels from John chapter 14 is what we're given today, and put it in the context of this great season that we're in. You know, we're still in the Easter season heading toward the celebration of Pentecost. In some way, all those events are just intimately connected. The passion and death of Jesus, the resurrection of our Lord, the ascension of our Lord to the right hand of the Father, and ultimately the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Really, it's the, in some way you could say, Jesus' entire coming, his incarnation, his teaching, his signs and wonders, the fact that the Spirit of God, Jesus said, had anointed him. That famous passage in Luke chapter 4, Jesus had come from the Jordan where he was baptized, and there was a theophany, there was a revelation of the Father who said, "Behold, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, there never was a time when Jesus was somehow apart from the Father and the Spirit. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. But what we see, in the words of Father Raniero Cantalamessa, is the as Jesus comes forth from the River Jordan and the anointing of the Spirit is visibly given to him, it's the launching of Jesus' earthly ministry. So for 3 years, he goes forward in the anointing of the Spirit. And it's very important for us to see that, because what happened in Jesus is what happens in all those who are baptized into Christ. As Pope Francis loves to remind us, that every single baptized Catholic, every single baptized Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit and has an anointing, has the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit given to them, not only to help them live a new way of life, a new way of life that, as Jesus, as the prophets of the Old Testament put it, would give us a new heart, and God himself would put his law within us. The law would not just be an external imposition or an external command that we in our own willpower alone are meant to respond to, but God's law is put in our heart, in your heart and mine. And it's from that place of the new law is the Holy Spirit that's given to us. And so it's why the scripture would say, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he would put a new law within us. He'd give you an advocate, the Spirit, to help change your heart, to tenderize your heart, to fill your heart with the love that was in and is in the heart of Jesus, the love for the Father, love for our neighbor, and love for the lost. So Jesus came forward from the Jordan under the anointing of the Spirit, who is really the first agent of the church's great mission to extend the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world. That Spirit who guided Jesus and led Jesus, Jesus would say shortly after his time in the Jordan, after he did spiritual warfare in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted, and Satan attacked him and tried to attack Jesus' identity and his destiny, as he does with each one of us, and Jesus drove him out. But then he went back to his hometown in the Galilee, right, in Nazareth. And he stood up in the temple, and he picked up the Isaiah scroll, and he read it. And it was from the prophet Isaiah that the passage says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, to give sight to the blind, and to announce the year of the Lord's favor." That's the Jubilee year. It's a year of particular celebration dedicated to the Lord when we're being freed from debts, and he's declaring freedom and liberation for all those who are going to ultimately receive his Holy Spirit, freedom from the power of sin and death, and a capacity to become a son of God, daughter of God, and to be able to live the life of Christ because we have the Christ life in us. So here we are in this great season, and what we see is that the passion and death of Jesus was directly connected to his mission and his coming. And in his death and resurrection, he puts away sin, Scripture says. He puts away the power of the rebellion that's in the human heart and the actual fact of the sin committed by each of us individually and by the whole human race, resisting the will of God. turning away from the will of God. And that sin nature, which laid hold of us, made us death-directed instead of directed toward God, which is what we were made for. So Jesus comes to deal with sin, which produces death in us, and death is the consequence of sin, and eternal death and separation from God is where sin leads. Jesus broke that power on the cross through the shedding of his blood. He became a sacrifice for our sin, and he died our death. And so as this offering of life to the Father, offering his life in obedience to the Father, there's so many extraordinary things happening there at one time. But what happens is the devil overextends himself in claiming Christ's life when Christ is innocent. He sheds the blood of Jesus. When one drop of the precious blood of Jesus Christ is shed for the sin of the world, that blood alone has a power and a capacity to cleanse us. And St. Paul would say, the writer of Hebrews would say, it cleanses our conscience, the knowledge of guilt, and the judgment that we're due because of sin. Jesus deals with it, and he washes all the sin away. Without the shedding of blood, the Old Testament says, why there was sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Jesus becomes that sacrifice so that you can be cleansed, I can be cleansed of my sin, no matter what it is, no matter what your background is, no matter what you've done, no matter what's happened to you, all of it gets cleansed and washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ so that you can be in the place where God's Spirit can now come and dwell in you and you can be born again. John's gospel, such an important gospel for us in this season. Jesus, the one filled with the Spirit, has come to give the Holy Spirit to human beings, to fallen creatures. He's restoring us to our place, the place that God the Father destined us to be in fellowship and with union with him. And that doesn't happen by our own resources. It's not a human achievement. It's a work of God. And it's a work in particular of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, together sent by the Father to bring home the lost children that the Father has created in the image of his Son. John's Gospel, chapter 3, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How do you get into the kingdom of God? Because you're influential? Because you have a lot of money? Because you made a name for yourself here on earth? Because you are in the Hall of Fame? Because you're such a good person that's done so many good things? Is that what makes it possible for you to enter the kingdom of heaven? No, it's not. Jesus is very clear here, and he says it again and again in John's gospel. The reason Jesus went through all of that, the passion and death, and the reason he became one of us and he united heaven, the divine life of God to human flesh, and laid down his life for us and was raised and ascended to the right hand of the Father, all of that was so that he could give to you and me what belongs uniquely to him in his human body. He's anointed, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's the source now of the gift of the Holy Spirit for the entire human race. And the church exists to bring human beings one heart at a time, one person at a time, into contact with the saving deed of Jesus Christ on Calvary, so that we can repent of our sin and we can give him our sins. We can give him our rebellion and he can crucify it and he can condemn it on the cross. And he can destroy its power so that we can be set free of it. And like him, we now can be anointed by the Holy Spirit, which will make it possible for us to become children of God. So John 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Jesus is literally, friends, siring, you might say, a new race of people. Human beings that are born again by water and the Spirit. What's the water? It's baptism. Baptism is when we're given that gift of the Holy Spirit. And we are, by God's action, we now become children of God. As John said in the first chapter, he gave us power to become children of God. So those children who enter the kingdom of heaven are those who are born again by the Spirit, and they're alive in the Spirit. The future of the human race is humanity animated by the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the future of the human race. Without it, we remain simply biological life. We remain, as Jesus described here, flesh. Not just our biological flesh, but also there's a dimension in us. We remain death-directed. The flesh in us, that fallen nature that loves sin, that turns from God, that insists on our own way and loves ourselves more than we love God and neighbor, we remain in the flesh. And that existence is condemned by God. That you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven and live in God, with God, under that dominion and that power. That's why Jesus came to put it to death. And he rose completely free of it. And now he's giving you and me an opportunity to share in the freedom that belongs to him. So it's helpful to see that Christianity is not just simply a matter of willpower, of doing the right thing on our own strength. It begins with God's action, making us an entirely new creation, and that's given to us through faith. So I'm going to talk the rest of this week about the gospel passages where Jesus talks about the importance. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He's very earnest about that. And he knows what his death and resurrection enables us in his ascension to the right hand of the Father and the outpouring of the Spirit. It enables us to live a new way of life. Here's a concern why I'm taking this up, because we can miss the whole point. We can celebrate Easter and have Easter eggs and beautiful flowers and a great family time, and we can miss the point of what Jesus is doing. Jesus changed us dramatically, totally. We're something entirely new. We are now children of God, animated by the power of the Spirit, which makes it possible for us now to live a new way of life, to live a changed life. Christianity means change. It means moving from life in the flesh to life in the Spirit and growing into ever greater degrees of freedom and Christ-likeness. Too many people may have gone to church hundreds and hundreds of times, and we don't change. Lots of people think that's the norm, but that's not the normal Christian life. And that's not Jesus' expectation. That's what I want to talk about more this week. God bless you. I hope you can tune in tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.